Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine. I'll be fine. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, guess what I left at home today?
What?
An appendage. Well, you would call it a cell phone. I call it a part of my body. And I'm not even all that addicted to that thing. It is not cellular crack for me. If you put me into a room by myself for 2 hours and said, amuse yourself with your cell phone, unless I had a lot of emails to do, I would not know how to fill the time. Nevertheless, I don't have my cell phone with me, which should raise a question in my mind. Who owns whom? Here's something that I've observed. Every time I leave my cell phone home, which does happen on occasion, I notice that at the end of the day, I've accomplished more. And I only use my cell phone at work. Okay, confessionally, do I ever get family or friend text? A little bit, but I don't have any friends. My family doesn't like me, so I get very few of those. It's almost all ministry stuff that I do. So I'm doing my job, what I'm supposed to be doing here. But on those days when I don't have that bad boy, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going, I think I'm done with all of my work. I'm completely caught up. What made the difference today? And I think I can attribute it to that cell phone. 72% of American teens feel peaceful when away from cell phones. Whoa, that's interesting news from Pew Research. 95% of teens have a smartphone. And we wonder why they're so depressed and anxious. 51 to 64% of teens think they spend the right amount of time on their phones. We love to give ourselves a pat. I don't spend that much time on. Yes, you do. Most parents agree their teens spend too much time on their phones. 4 in 10 teens argue with their parents about how much time they spend on their phone. The cell phone, it is 21st century issue in that this little thing can become our master so quickly. And isn't it interesting that 72% of teens feel peaceful when they are not connected to it? Mom and dad, maybe that will give you kind of the that you need to perhaps curtail how much time your kid spends on their cell phone. As for me today, Jimmy, I'm spending no time. I am way better than you. However, if you happen to have your cell phone and you've got a question, comment, conundrum, snark, text it to 877-282-2337. Am I a hypocrite?
Well, maybe.
Okay.
And speaking of cell phones, let's keep the conversation there. This is from Alexandra. Todd, is it wrong for me to check my spouse's phone without their permission or them knowing? I know there should be a certain amount of accountability, but I feel guilty after looking at his phone and always end up apologizing to him. And my husband is very trustworthy and has never done anything to make me question his faithfulness.
Mm. Well, that's good. You got a good guy. That's good. My encouragement would be to have a conversation, honey. I just want you to know you can check my phone anytime you want. Can I check yours anytime? Can I use it anytime that you want? And I think that that is a policy that is good for both partners in the marriage. Just that transparency that you can look through this thing anytime. Go to my computer. I do not care. Sir, of course you can use it. Now, when I want to use it, because we get a little jittery about that, don't we? But if you want to look at it any single time you want to, I think that that is an agreement that every single couple should have. Jimmy, you're nodding in a hearty affirmation.
My wife can pick up my phone at any point in time, and she does. Hers will die. She'll come grab mine. She doesn't even have to ask.
It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Once again, though, the cell phone, it's funny because Mrs. Friel, she I don't care if she looks at it any time. I really don't. But isn't it? Nevertheless, and I'm telling you, I'm not a cell phone crackhead. When she's using it, I'm kind of like, you done looking up those directions to the place where we're done? Can I just hold it? Do you need to use it, Todd? No, I just want to hold it because somebody's holding my cell phone and it just feels like a violation of some sort? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that came in from Anonymous. Todd, how can Protestants celebrate Holy Week?
Any way they want to. But if you're looking for some ideas, I would point you to the liturgical church calendar. This has been sorted in mainline Protestantism centuries ago, where they came up with a calendar of ways to lead up to the Easter celebration. That's the culmination of a number of days preceding that Resurrection Sunday. So they go look for those. And I would encourage you to consider what we would call Maundy Thursday, the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, the night that he instituted the Lord's table, Passover Day, because he's our Paschal Lamb. Good Friday. We're going to do a Good Friday, sir. We're not going to do Maundy Thursday. I don't think we're quite ready for that yet at our church, but we're going to do Good Friday. And we're going to gather together to remember this is the darkest day in human history. The Son of God died willingly, intentionally, voluntarily, lovingly, graciously for sinners. Let's get together and do a service surrounding that. Doesn't have to be as long necessarily, but gather together around the word to commemorate and remember what our Savior did for us. And then on Easter Sunday, you can celebrate the Lord is risen indeed. Now, you could do devotionals in your home. Those exist. I think doing more church service, there's some for Lent. Some denominations will meet every Wednesday night. It's just what we do because we are preparing our hearts for Easter Sunday, which is fascinating, isn't it? That our forefathers, actually, these people that we thought were stodgy, fuddy-duddy, dead orthodoxy, they went to church more than we do. I wonder exactly who's more deader. I think it is something that is absolutely worth reclaiming. And I'm so excited that we're going to be doing Good Friday service. I happen to like church. I just like church. I like being in the building. I like hanging out with believers. And I love services that help me to focus on my Savior who died for me. How do we overlook that day? I don't know. And if your church doesn't do something like that, might I suggest and encourage you to consider doing something in the context of your family? idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text that came in from Beth, and it's about Easter as well. She says, Todd, around certain holidays like Easter, some churches in our area come together and have community services. This bothers me because there are different denominations and smacks of ecumenism. I can see how they could all come together to serve and do some type of community project, but a worship service?
Well, both of them need to be considered. It depends on the participants. It depends on the denomination. Could you do a service with somebody in a different denomination? I think so, because you're Orthodox and you have unity. And we tend to think of ecumenism as always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it can actually be good, practiced rightly. The problem is we typically see it practiced wrongly. Evangelicals and Catholics together, wrong. That's a bad form of ecumenism. But getting together with somebody who is Orthodox, I personally don't see any problem with that as long as everything that is done is decently and in order and is sound. I think that's the type of small-c Catholicity that our Savior would actually enjoy. We're supposed to have unity, and we do have unity. I've been thinking a lot about denominations lately, and I keep coming back to a conclusion that I arrived at years ago, and that is the denominations, they're like divorce. It's God's concession. I think that if we weren't such knuckleheads, we'd all be on the same page with every jot and tittle, but we're not. And God tolerates these denominations that we all happen to find ourselves in, even if it isn't all that formal, by way of concession. But if we have unity with one another in the essentials, we should not be huddling in our denomination, not willing to play with any other Christian. Look, I know some of they're wonky. Would I do anything with an Episcopalian church, even though on paper they're probably still Orthodox? Not a chance. So we got to be practicing some discretion in this. But having said that, if I come to the conclusion that the only people that I can worship with, because we're the only people who are saved, are the people in my denomination or association or grouping, whatever label that you give yourself. I know Jesus said the road to life is narrow, but zoinkscoob, that would be thinner than a razor's edge. So let's make sure that we understand ecumenism, it can be sinful. But on the other hand, we want to make sure you could be giving the impression, but this can happen. I get it. Every configuration is different. So I'm not talking about yours, but you could be giving the impression that you don't think anybody else is saved. And the reality is there are some people saved in denominations that are not mine. Not a lot of people, but some people. That just shouldn't be my attitude. I want to maintain my position. I think I get it and how to put it together. I think I do. But if I see somebody who has a varying opinion on a non-essential issue and they are living like a Christian, that should actually make me kind of, I don't know, happy? This is Wretched Radio.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Say what you should have said in the last segment.
I was just saying that our last question from Beth, I know what she's talking about because where I come from, they do get together. Five churches in the local community, it's the same five churches every year, get together and do a service every day of Holy Week. Mm-hmm. And it's at a different church. And the pastor of one church will preach at another church during that week. And so I know what she's talking about. I never could really get behind it because there were churches with female pastors.
Okay, well, that's different. Uh-huh. I wouldn't do that either.
Right.
But having said that, could there ever be a... Okay, what if it were a Methodist church that were of the conservative branch, mm-hmm, that we are seeing is actually pretty substantial, which I'm encouraged by? If it were it's a Methodist church, they're sound. It is an Anglican church, they're sound. They're not wonky. They're not ordaining weirdness. Could you do it with that type of vote?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can. Now, they preached in the other person's pulpit?
Yeah, right. So if the Baptist church, if they were at the Baptist church, then maybe the Presbyterian pastor would preach there. Mm-hmm. So it was different.
Yeah. I wonder what the reasoning for that was.
I don't really know.
That we entrust the... Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337. There's something about that is like, I get what they're after.
We can do things together, but I'm going to protect my pulpit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now I could respond and say, wait a second, Jimmy, do you have fellowship with a Presbyterian?
Sure.
The guy's orthodox. He's a good preacher. Give him your pulpit. See,
it's just one of those things.
Yes, you peasant. What I do, you could, maybe like at conferences, that makes some sense to me. But in the context of local church, this pulpit, 877-282-2337. That was like Elvis. I just got... stuck, man.
Oh, this is from Gabe. Todd, from a biblical perspective, how do I know if she is the one to marry?
What does your Bible say? You say, wait a second. What? My Bible doesn't tell me I should marry this one or that. Yes, it does. Because the Bible gives criteria for what makes for a godly spouse. And so if that individual has checked the boxes, then that individual is qualified. Does that mean that that is the individual you have to marry? No, it's not. Because guess what the Lord allows? Preferences. So if you've got a preference, maybe, he or she, whatever you're dealing with, godly, yep, faith, yep, all of those things. But, it just, you don't have to get married to the individual. But if the individual checks all of those boxes, you dig that person and they feel the same way, then that could be the right person. How do I know if it is the right person? Because you marry that one. That's the right person. Whether it turns out well or not, that is the right person. Follow these steps for decision making, whether it's spouse, house, car, college. Read the word. What does it say about my subject? And while you're reading it, step two or one, whichever order you want to do it, be praying like a nobody's business, not for the answer. Lord, is this the right woman? I think that's the wrong question. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, I don't expect you to throw out a fleece for me, put it on a billboard, write it in the sky. So give me wisdom as I study the word. You ask for wisdom, then you consult with others. Hey, wise Christian person, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm seeing. This is how I feel. What do you think? And you let that person speak to you biblically. Then you consider your preference. Do I like her? Do I mind? No, yes, whatever. And I like this one more than that. That's okay. You like this car better than that car. But it's checked all of the appropriate boxes for car purchasing, budget, expenses, testimony, all of those considerations. You consider your preference and then you pull the trigger, and that's God's will for your life. Because that's what you did. You are never out of God's will. You could be potentially not doing what you're supposed to do, but even that is ordained by God. So do those things, consider your preferences, pull the trigger, and rest in that because you were faithful. I think we talked about this yesterday. Was this today? I'm confused. I have no idea, frankly, what zip code I'm in at the moment. You rest when you've been faithful. Right now, for instance, you're married to a stinker. All right, my question for you is, were you faithful in making the decision? And if you would say to me, yes, then I would say you are absolutely positively in the scenario that God wants you to be in, and you do not have to feel bad about it because you were faithful. Now, let's say I asked the same question and you said, well, no, I was she was really hot. And I wanted to get married because she was really super hot. I would say to you, you should think about repenting of that. It's sort of poor judgment that you exercised, overriding what the Bible teaches, perhaps not listening to what wise people, including your parents, maybe said. That was a sin, so you repent of that, but you're still married to the right person. How do I know? Because you're married to that person. And you can have forgiveness, and you can know, even if you made a, I don't want to say it this way, you didn't do the process right. You're still married to the right, you still bought the car that God wanted you to buy. You still went to the school that God wanted you to go to. And you say, the school was terrible, and I lost my down payment. Yeah, well, were you faithful? Then rest. Did you sin? Repent. And then you can still rest because that is God's will for your life. Knowing what God wants to do or wants us to do is not some sort of shell game that he plays with us. He's not like that. He doesn't want you reading tea leaves, signs, and hearing a song on the radio. You know, I'm dating this girl named Roxanne. And suddenly the police comes on. Oh, that isn't even as bad as it sounds. I can't. Want to know the most annoying sound in the world? Roxanne. Oh, I think I'm supposed to marry Roxanne. And the reason, you know why? Here's another one. I walked by a license plate the other day and it said Roxanne. So that clearly I should have married Roxanne. Clearly that is not the way God works. He's tittering up in heaven. I'm going to give him a sign. Let's see if he gets it. He communicates clearly through his word, through his people. Use those tools and you'll know what God's will is for your life. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, Tom, stand up straight.
Okay.
This one's a doozy. All right. This is from Debbie. Todd, I'm a pastor's wife, and we recently had a 16-year-old girl come to my husband desiring to be baptized because she hadn't taken that step of obedience following her salvation. She attends our church faithfully. However, her parents are divorced, and there was disagreement from her mother, who believes she was baptized as an infant. Mm-hmm. There are now problems with her mother, who claims that her daughter dishonored her. Did we do the right thing by encouraging her to go ahead rather than wait until she was out from under her mother's authority?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. This is hierarchy. God trumps everything. If God commands you to get baptized and your spouse or your parents don't want you to, you've got to be obedient to the Lord. Now, with that act, could you use some discretion? Sure. Don't trickery. No hijinks. But could you use some discretion? Yeah, I would think that you could probably come up with something that might be wise. But you're not sinning when you obey God, ever. 877-282-2333. What?
No, I've just got a question. I'm not saying that they were wrong here at all. I'm agreeing with you. But if they had instructed her and advised her to go ahead and honor her mother and wait until she was out of her authority to be baptized, would they have been sinning?
No. I can understand somebody doing that.
Right.
This is the first command of our Savior. We've lost our urgency about obedience to baptism. Jesus, you get saved, you get baptized, commanded, make disciples, baptizing them. And what do we see in Acts chapter 2? They got saved, they got baptized, they're in the church. Bing, bang, boom. And we need to be obedient to baptism. And so if we're in a predicament like that, it's like, well, look, I understand the dynamic with your mom. There are just some times where we have to say, I'm sorry, mom. I'm sorry, government. I have to obey the Lord first and foremost. Now, could it be she's 18, she's getting ready to move out of the house, it's a week away. Could I see that they, it's like, let's just wait until after, and then, but you know what? I don't think that's still going to make mom happy. Her age isn't going to somehow flip a switch. All right, well, she's an adult, so I just accept that adult decision. Probably not. So my encouragement is to remember in different configurations like this, who's in charge here? It is not the government. The government is a minister. Who's in charge here? Right? Not your parents. They have authority over you, but they both submit to God. And we submit to Him first and foremost. And in those instances, when it comes into contradiction with somebody else in authority, we obey our King. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.